Hello and welcome to episode 130 of the Latter-day Ladies podcast. I'm your host and your friend Jenny Moss, and this is where we talk about real life on the covenant path. Today I have a very special episode for you guys. It's a conversation with my wonderful friend Ashley Carnicelli. Ashley is an author, editor, and classically trained singer. Ashley's heartfelt narrative invites readers to embark on a soul-enriching experience through her works such as Cherish, The Joy of Our Mother in Heaven, and in her monthly newsletter sharing her testimony of Christ, entitled The Pearls. The second volume of Cherish, The Love for Our Heavenly Mother, has just released on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, just in time for Mother's Day. She recently was featured in an LDS Living magazine for her personal life experiences and reflections on God's love. Ashley holds her Bachelor's of Music degree in vocal performance from the Boston Conservatory, and she and her husband Tony are the parents of four beautiful daughters. This episode is surrounding Ashley's conversion story, which I felt like needed to have its own standalone episode. So enjoy and tune in next week for part two. I was trying to trace back like how we got connected, but I literally cannot even remember when I first came to know about you on social media, because I feel like you've just always been a part of it, like in my brain. I'm so grateful that you're here and that you're willing to come here and share your story.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so honored. And you know something? I can't remember either. So I feel like that must be a sign of kindred spirits. Like we were like in the same homeroom in the premortal life together or something.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I can't remember not knowing you.
Yeah. No, I remember distinctly when I was reading the article you wrote for LDS Living and being like, I know this person. Like she is my sister.
Totally.
Like this is my girl. I love this girl.
Totally.
So I'm just
totally. I felt the same way about you. Oh, thank you. You're so, so kind. Oh my gosh.
And you've got four girls, right?
Four girls. Yep. So they are, my oldest is 11, 7, 5, turning 6 in 9 days, and then 4. Oh, it's amazing. And how, you know, there's four of them and they come from me and they come from my husband, but they are each very different. And it's really cool to see.
Yeah, they truly are from Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. Okay. I have loved like how open you are. I feel like you're an open book and you've been very open about your experience of being a convert to the church. And I was wondering if we could start this off by you sharing some of that journey of finding the church and your process in that.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I will try to condense it. Let's see. We'll do the Reader's Digest version. You know, so I was raised Catholic until I was 10 years old. And when I was 10, my parents left the Catholic Church and they left all religion. And so at that time, it really set me on a journey. You know, I always felt really connected to Christ. I made my first communion when I was 7 years old. I might have been 8 actually. And I remember feeling the Spirit, like for the very first time, in a really huge way, in a way that I never wanted it to leave. Like I was on such a spiritual high from that experience that I used to like pretend I was giving a mass like in my bedroom, and I was like doing communion in my bedroom, and I wanted to be a nun when I grew up. And then I found out that nuns couldn't have families. So I was like, well, that's not going to work for me. But, yeah, totally. Oh, totally. And so, you know, it set me on a journey really searching for truth, but still keeping Christ at the heart of everything. And so I attended Shabbat services with my friends who were Jewish. And then as I got older, I studied with Baba Migmar. He's the Buddhist chaplain at Harvard. I got to attend a lecture with his Dalai Lama through my introduction to Lama Mi'kmaq. You know, studying Buddhism, it really just grew my testimony of Christ, really, you know, truly. You know, because I love that it is true. All truth is circumscribed in one eternal. That is true. You know, there's truth in every faith, and it's beautiful, and I hold space, you know, for those of all different faiths. But for me, Jesus Christ was always it. And so when I got my driver's license, you know, 6 years later, I started driving back to the Catholic church that my parents had left. And my mom, you know, was kind of teasing, and she was like, "Where did I go wrong? Like, did you not hear anything I said? You know, like, why we left?" And I was like, "I'm sorry. Like, I have to." And I attended a Catholic church in Boston, where I was a student at the Boston Observatory. And my husband and I went there. You know, in fact, our second daughter was actually baptized there at St. Cecilia in Boston. So when my husband went to medical school in 2010, we moved to Rochester, New York, which is Elmira. And a lot of my husband's classmates were members. And my husband and I, you know, my husband was older, starting medical school. He was 28, and we were getting ready to start our family. We had been married for 5 years before he started med school. And so we were like, okay, it's about time, you know, for us to start having a family. So we had a lot in common. You know, we called them the Mormons back then. We had a lot in common with the Mormons because we had a young family, and, you know, we were in that mode of life. And so I adored them. I mean, I absolutely adored them, all of them. We would go to parties, go out to dinner at their house. So the missionaries knocked on our door. Of course they did, because I don't know, there's probably like 10 families that were members. So they knocked on our door, and I was like, "Oh, wow, yeah, like, let's make an appointment." Because we weren't attending a Catholic church. We went to a Catholic church in Rochester, and we heard, you know, what's a little different about Catholic church versus our church is, you know, you really do depend on who is the priest, because he's the one who gives all the talks, all the sermons, everything. So if you don't like his style, you might be turned off. Like, if you have one priest that talks about politics a lot, or is more fire and brimstone, or, you know, you might be like totally turned off. And then you go shopping for a different parish, because you don't have to like live in a certain area to go to a specific Catholic church. So anyway, we went to a Catholic church in Pittsburgh, New York, and the sermon was all fire and brimstone and hellfire and damnation. And we were like, okay, no, I don't think this is not our vibe. And so we didn't attend for a few years, you know. I was like, I can't find a good one. So every time we would go back to visit Boston, we would go back to our old church. And then we did end up moving back to Boston. But anyway, I digress. So I made an appointment with the elders, because I was like, oh, yeah, like, I love your church. I love your people. Like, sign me up. So my husband came home from med school, and I was like, hey, like, you know, Mike and Ashley Bourne, like one of our friends, they're two elders from their church stopped by, like, they want to meet with us. So I made an appointment. My husband was like, no way. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, we had only been married for 5 years, so I really didn't want to rock the boat. We got married in a Catholic church at St. Bonaventure University, where my husband's from, in Allegheny, New York. We had the Franciscan friar. You know, his family's been a member of that church since they immigrated from Italy, like generations, you know. So I was like, oh, I don't want to tick anybody off in my, you know, new family. And so I left him a Dear John letter. I didn't even know that's what it was called. I just did not have the courage to face them, because they were so adorable and so cute and so sweet. And so I signed it, "Your sister in Christ." I just said, "We're not interested in changing our faith at this time." Like, signed, "Your sister in Christ, Ashley Carnicelli." I thought it sounded good. Right. And so anyway, so then fast forward, we moved back home to Boston for Tony's residency at Brigham and Women's Hospital. You know, it's affiliated with Harvard. So like, it was a really good time for him. It was really hard for me to leave Rochester. Really loved it there. So we had an au pair live with us, and she was number 11 of 12 children from a family, a Latter-day Saint family from Salt Lake. And she was the only one in her family who didn't want to be a member. Now, I'm kind of like jumping around a little bit, but I met her in Rochester. because when Isla, our oldest daughter, was 6 months old, I started a 7-month program to get certified in aesthetic. I was a massage therapist. That was how I put my husband through medical school. And I was like, I need to become an SD. I really love this work. And when we move to Boston, if I'm dual licensed, I will always be busy and I can keep making money during your residency, because everybody knows when you're a resident, you don't really make a lot of money. So I was like, we have kids, like I need to support us. And so I met Renee in aesthetic school on the first day. She introduced herself. She was tall, 6 foot, blonde, blue eyed, beautiful girl. And I was 30 and she was 21. And I just shook her hand. That night I go to bed and I have this dream that I go into this little green house and I walk in the front door and I'm led into this kitchen. And I sit at this kitchen table and there's this older woman with white hair. And then all these five adult, grown women. And the older woman takes my hand across the table. And they all sit down with me and she says, you've got to help us bring Renee back to the church. And I was like, okay. So I woke up and the next day I was like, Renee, I had this really weird dream about you. And she was like, did you now? And I told her and she was like, okay, wait a minute. Are you a Mormon? Because like I said, this is back when it was acceptable to say that. Like, are you a Mormon? I was like, no, I'm Catholic. And she was like, okay, we can talk. So we went out to lunch and she was like, okay, I'm number 11 of 12. My family's from Salt Lake. We moved out here. My parents are temple workers in Palmyra. I don't want to be a member. I refuse. I don't want it. I just don't like it. And I was like, oh, well, and she was like, so you promise you're not Mormon? I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, well, you won't convert me. I was like, no, I won't. We're good. But deep down inside, I was like, but why? Why don't you want to be part of it? I love these people, you know? So anyway, so for a year, I got to sit at the kitchen table with her and hear all of her qualms. And she was not, she is not and was not anti, person, but she just had a lot of questions that she wrestled with that I hold space for and I validate. But, in the back of my mind, and a lot of the members from the local ward would knock on the door and bring treats and stuff. And I was like, oh, are you sure? Are you sure you want me to send them away? They're so cute, you know? She's like, no, I don't want to see them. And she's like, I'm going to get asked to take off the role, so they won't knock on me. I'll be on the do not contact list or whatever. Okay, it's your choice, So anyway, so she lived with us for a year. And then, the following year we went through IVF to have our second baby and it failed. I mean, and when I say it failed, it crashed and burned. We lost 5 embryos. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It was the worst experience. And that was a turning point for me because up until that point, so, I was Catholic. I was also studying with a Buddhist Tibetan Lama and I was a massage therapist. So I was really into the new age stuff, manifesting The Secret. I think I listened to The Secret and Abraham Hicks, ask and it is given. I listened to those audiobooks on repeat. They were my scriptures I studied. You know what I mean? And so I had this big aha moment. I was so I'm meditating. I'm visualizing. I'm getting acupuncture. I'm getting fertility massage. I'm eating the foods. I'm taking all the medications and all the shots. I'm literally doing everything within my power to manifest, I'm using air quotes because, you can't see me on a podcast, but to manifest this baby. And this baby's not coming. Maybe I'm not the center of the universe. Maybe it's not all up to me. While I truly do believe in the power of positive thinking and setting good intentions and being, a steward of your own vibration, so to speak. I was like, wait, this is bigger than me. This is in the Lord's hand. And we were, attending the Catholic Church, and I'll never forget. It was November 1st, 2015, was the first cycle that failed because I was going up to get communion. The sacrament. And I got a voicemail from the nurse at Boston IVF. And I saw that the voicemail was like literally 6 seconds long. And I was like, it didn't work. It failed. Because she was like, we'll call you, because I took a pregnancy test that morning, like blood work. And then I went off to church. And she's like, I'll call you with the results in a few hours. And I was like, it didn't work. And I was going up to receive communion. I was looking up at St. Cecilia. They have a huge mosaic of Jesus Christ. And I heard the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to fix this. You're going to get your baby. And it's okay. And I was like, okay, this is me needing to lean on you. This is me giving this to you. I don't have to do this alone. And I also don't have to think that I'm in charge of every single thing in my life. Like that's actually couldn't be further from the truth. And so I got this little jewelry dish that had the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, written, just said, It Is Well With My Soul. Every night I would take my rings off on my nightstand and I would say, my soul, this. My family is in the Lord's hand. And we did another cycle, failed again. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm totally giving this to God. And maybe God doesn't want us to have another baby. Maybe he wants us to adopt because I'm adopted. I don't know. But I'm past the point of trying to control every bloody thing that happens here with this. I just can't. And we got pregnant in between cycles on our own. Like we like took a break. Like I was like, let's get off the roller coaster. Let's stop talking about it. Let's stop thinking about it. Let's be grateful for Isla. I had all my medications and they're like, start your first shot on the first day of your period. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, where's my period? Right. That morning that I found out that I was pregnant with Everly, my second, I went to church, went to mass with my friend Jessica that I grew up with. And her son has autism. And we were a little late coming to church, Isla and I, my oldest, because Tony was at the hospital working. And we slid into the pew and her son looked at Isla and he goes, hey, Isla, your sister's here? And I was like, Reese, what? And he looked up and he goes, yeah, I think she's here. And I was like, okay, well, I guess it's time for me to take a pregnancy test. So when I got home, I took a pregnancy test and lo and behold, it was Everly Bell. So when she was delivered, I had an emergency C-section. It was nothing crazy life-threatening. To my surgeon and to my midwife, it was not life or death. But to me, on that operating table where I was like expecting like a midwife birth, it felt like I was about to die, right? And at first, when I was laying there on the table, I heard my teacher, Lama Mi'kmaq's voice. Like not literally, but it was like the spirit. And he was like, listen, you have a choice to make. And this was a teaching that he drilled into us, like as his student. Life is suffering, right? Like suffering is the rent you pay for mortality. So now you have a choice. This can be a totally traumatic, fear-inducing experience, or you can let go and connect with your center. Or you can accept this experience and let go and go into your like meditation mode where you feel that samadhi, that nirvana, right? Because I had definitely achieved that as a meditator, that blissful state. And I did. And I just like let go. And Jenny, I would never lie to you. I would never lie to my friends and family who I have shared this with. She came out and they dropped the screen so I could kiss her. And then they immediately, you know, sent her over to the incubator to be weighed and get her Apgar score and all that. And I just like, oh my gosh, sorry. It's like so different. I kind of lost consciousness, like, because I think it had been so traumatic and I had been in labor for so long. And I saw Jesus Christ in the operating room. He had his back to me And it was in my mind's eye, like, you know, because like I said, I kind of lost consciousness. Like I wasn't like, I didn't have my eyes open and I saw him. So when I say that, it's really important that I emphasize this. He had his back to me and he had like auburn hair, you know, kind of like to his ears and his flowing white robes. And the room was like filled with light and he was there and he showed up for her and he showed up for me. And I knew that everything was going to be okay, but I also knew that he was reaching for me, like in a really tangible way. Now it wasn't just like, oh, at church, like, you know, hearing the Holy Spirit every once in a while when I get communion, like this was like, he like showed up in my story for me and forever. And so, it wasn't very long after that we moved to North Carolina so my husband could do his cardiology fellowship at Duke. And we bought a house. We got a dog. I found out I was pregnant again with our third daughter, Adeline. And I got my dream job. I was working for a plastic surgeon, which is what I had wanted to do. And I was like, okay, like I like quote unquote have it all now. Once again, like kind of going back to my new agey self, like, oh, I got everything on my vision board here. Like, all right, why don't I feel complete? Like, why don't I feel whole? And so I took a lawn chair. We had like a canopy of trees. Our property went to like a tree line behind our house. We had this canopy of trees. I used to call it like the cathedral because it all the trees kind of made like an archway. And I sat in this lawn chair and I was like, what church should we join? Like praying out loud, like, what church should we join? And I meant which Catholic church? There were like 10 Catholic parishes between Durham and Raleigh. You know, I was like, which Catholic church should we go to? Because like, we really love St. Cecilia. And the Holy Ghost was like, remember Renee, remember Rachel. There's, I'm sure you've heard of her, Rachel Parcell. She's a, you know, blogger, and now she has her own clothing line. And a friend had sent me her blog when I was going through IVF. And she said, look at this girl. You two look like you could be sisters. She also has an Isla Rose. Your Isla Rose is a little older than hers, but I think you would really love her blog. And her blog brought me so much joy. Like in all that darkness of IVF, when I was like, oh my gosh, I could at least like go on her blog and like pick out a cute outfit or like find a cute lipstick or think about how I was going to decorate my house when we bought our house. You know what I mean? She used the hashtag light the world on like a post. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Rachel's a part of this church. Like, that if she's a part of this church, like I love her taste. I love her, like how she dresses. I love how she decorates her house. So like, if she likes this church, like, this church must be really special. Because, you know, in contrast to like hearing my au pair's qualms, right? And so the Holy Ghost was like, remember Rachel? Remember Renee? It's like, yeah. He was like, read the Book of Mormon. What do you have to lose? If you think it's bogus, like Renee thinks it's bogus, you lost a few hours, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So I sent away for it and it came with the two sisters and, you know, the rest is history. Like literally by my second lesson, I was ready to get baptized. And at this point, Tony and I, you know, my husband, I was like, listen, like we've been married now for 10 years. It had been seven years because we weren't even married 5 years when the elders knocked on our door. They knocked on our door in like 2011. We got married in 2007. So we've been married for 10 years when I met with the sister and I was like, listen, like, you know, I'm thinking about joining this church. And he was like, okay. He was like, you know, I'm kind of at the space where I don't really feel the need for organized religion. Like if we can't go to St. Cecilia, like I'm fine with not going to a church. Like I still love God. I still love Jesus. And I was like, yeah, I was like, listen, like I fully support that. But like, just think about this for 1 second. Like, you know, now we have a 5-year-old and a 9-month-old. We have another baby on the way. I was like, you can sit here and say you don't feel the need for organized religion because your family, your parents gave you organized religion through your whole growing up. So you're in the privileged point where you can like reject it. you know, like, think about that. And he was like, no, you're right. I was like, so we need to give our girls something. And if they reject it, when they get older, they decide they believe something else, that's up to them. That's their agency. But I need to give them what I think is the best. And this church is it. I was like, this church has Jesus Christ. Like, of all, everything I've explored, every faith I've explored, I have friends who are Muslim. I was like, this is it for me. And if it's not it for you, that's okay. But this is how I want to raise the girls. And it was baby steps. Like, I remember first he was like, you can take the girls to church, but I don't want them to get baptized. And then like, you know, for a long time, he didn't come to church. And then now, like, he has a calling with me, you know? So, like, it was so long. Like I said, that was not the Reader's Digest version, but I felt always that I was meant to be part of this church. And then I found out later that, like, you know, Joseph Smith is one of my ancestors. I have pioneer ancestors. Yeah. Yeah. So my family came over on the Mayflower, and Hannah Knight Libby is my pioneer ancestor, who is related to Lucy Mack Smith, is my like cousin, like distant cousin. Whatever. You know, when I met with the missionaries, and I say this, you know, to my husband, I say this to a lot of people, it wasn't anything that they said that convinced me. I read the Book of Mormon and I received a witness that I could not deny. I was like, I don't really know where this is going to lead. I don't really know what this means for me in my life or what this is going to look like, but I can't deny this calling. I can't deny this truth that I am being confronted with. I can't deny it. Yeah. And so I think, I can't remember which scripture it was. It might've been from Alma, just saying, like, you know, if you desire to follow the Savior with full purpose of heart, you know, with nothing false before God, and follow the Savior into the waters of baptism, that was the line I read. And I was like, okay, this is confirmation. Like, this is what I need to be doing. And I did.
I hope you enjoyed hearing some of Ashley's conversion story. It's incredible to hear about the magnificent details and also the small and simple things that the Savior did to help her know that he was a part of her life. Tune in next week for our part two of my conversation with Ashley. And thank you so much for being here today. We love you. Bye. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, find us at Instagram @TheLatterdayLadies or on our website, thelatterdayladies.com. Click on the Etsy tab for any of your Christ-centered artwork needs.